In this episode, discover where Google's going and how to align your business for long-term success.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery.
What's a happening? You know, one of the speeches that I've given on stages around the world is titled Where Google's Going and How to Align Your Business to Go with Google's Flow. And throughout my career, I've successfully taken advantage of my ability to see the future and to take that opportunity to radically transform my results. I've used this as a central premise on this podcast over 240 plus episodes because I think it's essential for you to look for opportunities, to see where the window opens, to jam your foot in there, and to start optimizing the way that you convince and convert so your business can have accelerated growth. Need an example from my career? Well, in 2002, I owned and operated my own news site covering the topics that I was reporting on as an investigative political reporter. And my site had moderate success at the beginning, regional success. Then Google announced it was launching Google News, a news aggregator that was going to promote a continuous flow of articles that are organized from thousands of publishers and magazines. Google News launched actually on September 22nd, 2002. I will remember that date for the rest of my life because it changed my life. Well, not because of Google News, but because that was also my wedding day. And as I read through the early information back in September of 2002 about Google News, I noticed that they were going to hand select thousands of news sites around the world that had a team of contributors. Remember that point. You need to have a team of contributors. I actually didn't qualify because I didn't have a team of contributors. But back in 2002, I was a one-man band. My only site contributor, I had members to my site. We had 19,000 members at that point. But I didn't qualify as a news organization in the eyes of Google. But then one day at the radio station, I realized, what if I got the people that I interviewed to contribute a weekly article on my website? And if I built out my team of weekly contributors and presented them as my news team, my one-man band site would officially be eligible or would qualify for Google News based on the specifications that Google News was saying. And within 40 days, anytime an Arizona dignitary came into studio, I convinced them to become a weekly news contributor. And I quickly brokered deals with a Phoenix City councilman whose daughter was my intern. And as luck would have it, within a few months of him joining me, that city councilman decided to run for mayor and then became the mayor of Phoenix. And I told the next person that I was trying to get to become a contributor about Phil Gordon joining my news team. And then the Arizona Attorney General decided to contribute. And she went on to become the governor of Arizona years later. And maybe you'll remember her name, Janet Napolitano. She then went on to become the Secretary of Homeland Security in D.C. I landed every member of the Arizona congressional delegation in Washington, D.C., which means every United States representative from Arizona, every senator, and senators like John McCain, and a local attorney who is now one of the justices on the Arizona Supreme Court. Yo, my news team was on fire, right? It was just crushing. It was like every name you ever wanted to find out about news that was going on in Arizona. It took me 40 days. I built that team. At some point, Senator John Kerry, even Jesse Jackson were contributors. The truth is, I don't even care about politics. I don't care about it the slightest bit. I find it so boring, so routine, same playbook every election year, same people marginalized, pushed into corners in order to divide people to get their votes. I care about owning keywords. I'm a marketer. My target audience is who I'm serving. And I'm interested in the keywords that my target audience is interested in when they get onto Google. And before I knew it, my site was pumping mad traffic. And one of the first organizations that was selected by Google News was my site. And for years, I was, well, not only the first news site in Arizona, but the only news site, even the Arizona Republic, which is owned by USA Today and Gannett. They weren't there. Why? Because they missed the golden opportunity. When the door opened, when you could see where Google was going, they missed, with all their brilliant minds, they missed the opportunity to seize the moment and to become an elite news site covering Arizona. For years, I was the first news site every time someone would go into Google and search for John McCain, the governor of Arizona, the mayor of Phoenix, or anyone in Congress with an AZ next to their name. Google indexed me first. And as such, with no time, my little news site, my little engine that could, was generating 36 million visitors a year. Boom. And you know what happened next? A career was born, legitimately. Within 18 months, I was running digital marketing campaigns in Hollywood for iHeartRadio's 7 largest nationally syndicated talk shows. How's that for an example? If you know where Google is going, if you know where the road ahead of them is, you can position your business to be one of the early birds that gets all the worms. Because of the coronavirus and the impact it had on all of our businesses, Google's done something very rare. They've revealed their cards, laid them face up on their future algorithm update. You hear me? Why? So we can adjust our website in time to not be affected negatively. Like, a lot of dumb marketers run around and they don't follow the news. They don't see where the developing trends are. And all they do is react. I want you to be proactive. I want you to adjust your business before the changing storm so you can ride that sucker out like a boss. And in moments, I'm going to be joined by one of the world's leading Google authorities, who happens to also be one of my dear friends, my digital marketing soul brother, Mark Traphagen, who is returning to the Toddcast to update you on our favorite topic, where Google's going, and how you can prepare your business to take advantage of Google's page experience update. But first, here's how Google explains their new page experience algorithm update. Quote, "The page experience signal measures aspects of how users perceive the experience of interacting with a web page. Optimizing for these factors makes the web more delightful for users across web browsers and surfaces and helps sites evolve towards user expectations on mobile." Now, let me pump the brakes here for a moment, just have a little bit of a conversation. Isn't it interesting? So this is a qualitative update. They're going to use quantitative factors, but it's really about how the experience gets improved, right? Notice that optimizing for these factors makes the web more delightful for users across all web browsers and surfaces, and help sites evolve towards user expectations on mobile. Google goes on to pay special attention to the word friction coming up, okay? So listen to this, and I'll reveal what Google means when they say, quote, "We believe this will contribute to business success on the web as users grow more engaged and can transact with less friction." Right? So let's talk about friction for a moment. Friction happens to website visitors every time they encounter a user experience that isn't optimized or easy for them to use. It isn't intuitive, or maybe it's cumbersome. Okay, so think about a website, a form field that has too many boxes for you to fill out in order to get what you want or to make a purchase. Or let's say those form fields are designed for desktop, but you're trying to interact with it on mobile and the boxes are too small and your thumb can't click on it. Or here's another example. What about a traditional desktop navigation bar that isn't easy to navigate on a mobile device? The more friction the page has, the more irritation the user feels, the fewer the conversions the site has, the less revenue that website generates, the less efficient their ad dollars are, like everything. And people bounce off of those sites faster. So you want to have a frictionless user experience. Okay? That's what Google is talking about. So where's Google going? And how do you align your business to grow with Google's flow? Like, I look at Google as being a massive friggin' aircraft carrier, like the biggest aircraft carrier you have ever seen. And it doesn't turn often. When it turns, it has to notify the control towers and it has to notify the harbor team that helps navigate boats and the lighthouse and other people around them. That's what Google does when it's making a big enough transition. And we always want to make our sites as frictionless as possible. The big picture is you need to understand this. Over 60% of Google searches are performed on mobile devices. And Google's focused on prioritizing search results for websites that have created mobile-friendly web pages that are better user experiences so they can best meet the expectations of people that are using their search engine. Got it? That's the big picture. In fact, some of you might say, well, they're doing that at the disservice of us loyal desktop users. But the reality is every business that wants to stay around caters to the largest number of people first, and then they serve the smaller one. And at some point in a company's history, they may see that the underdog back in the day, like mobile users using Google, end up overtaking the larger group. And then they have a convection cycle where they transition their business to best meet the underdog, which is now the champion, right? And the people on desktops become the challenger. But in this scenario, we ain't going back. We're not going to have desktops being the primary. It's going to be mobile and iPad devices, like iOS devices. Like, these are the devices that the bulk of, more than 60% of people using Google and going onto the search engines are using. So to help you prepare your business for where Google's going so you can flow and grow with Google, I'm joined right now by one of the world's leading Google authorities, the VP of Product Marketing and Training at SEO Clarity, my brother, the rock star Mark Traphagen. Hey, Mark.
Hey, soul brother.
How you doing, dude?
I'm doing great. Just functioning. And that is a miracle in these days and times. But, performing, functioning, getting things done, adapting. That's what we're all doing, right? And just like Google's changing, we're all changing.
We're all evolving, right? And one of the things, you know, for those that don't know the history that Mark and I have, Mark and I would speak at SEO conferences like SMX. We would also be talking about, hey, where Google's going, or how to use developing trends inside of Google to speed up your business. And one of our obsessions is when Mark and I get together, we talk about the big road ahead and discuss what the opportunities are. So Mark, in a moment, let's talk about page experience, which is going to be this new opportunity for people to position their business to grow with Google. But before we do that, can we dig in on how ranking has changed over the last few years and give people a good foundation? And then from there, let's get into page experience. You cool with that?
Absolutely. Yeah. I appreciate that order, because I think, you know, it's like a big topic that affects everybody, and then a topic that's upcoming. So kind of one that's happening now, one that's coming down the pike very quickly. So starting with ranking, and this is, you know, we're talking today about some things at SEO Clarity, because we're a software as a service that serves the SEO community with rank tracking, with content optimization, with, you know, full service platform at the enterprise level, everything you need to do that. So we track all these things. And one of the things that we've been seeing is how radically the way that we track ranking positions in SEO has changed over the last several years, or it should be changing, and it hasn't changed. It's just the real story. So what we're talking about here is that when we talk about rank tracking, traditionally we're saying those 10 positions on the first page that we all thought of as Google for many years, the 10 blue links, as a lot of us like to call them. And the race in SEO, the goal was always to get to number one, to be in that number one ranking position, because very quickly we all discovered that from human behavior, people tend to click on the first result the most, the second result the second most, and so on down the page. And as has been often said, you know, the best place to bury a body online is on the second page of Google.
I've always loved that. I think that's like one of the best quotes.
But in reality, like position three or four can even be a pretty good place, and you're not going to get discovered for a long time. So, you know, the race to get to the top. So we've always thought of the top traditionally, like the goal is being at number one position. However, anybody that's been watching Google search at all over the last few years is aware that Google has been building a lot of things into search. What happens on the search results page, what we call search features, that go way beyond those 10 blue links.
So let me just these are like the boxes that pop up in different places that have knowledge or additional supportive information, so you don't have to go to that site and leave Google.
Exactly right. So all kinds of things like what we call featured snippets, which you mentioned the box. You know, it's one of the things that most people see is you ask a question to Google, and a lot of times you get this box that features the answer right there. Now, much of the time it's taken from a website, but a lot of times the answer, you know, a very simple thing would be like you say, you know, what time is it? And Google brings up the answer to what time it is, and that may be all you need to know. So you're not going to click anywhere. But there's just all kinds of things, some of which can drive traffic, like featured snippets can actually drive traffic to your site and can be one. It's like Google featuring your site. And if people feel like, well, that's great, that's the answer, but it's not everything I wanted to know, they're likely to click there. But a lot of the other things are things that do not bring people to your site. Right. Where they are or they aren't, the thing that people haven't been thinking about as much is the fact that every search feature that's added drives that number one result, the traditional web result, further and further down the page. And people are, you know, not going to scroll all that far. And it's not hard for many queries today for you to be driven off the first fold, meaning that people would in order to see your result, people would have to scroll on mobile or desktop, whatever it is. So that's the big issue. And why at SEO Clarity, we've been focusing now on a two-year effort to shift from traditional rank tracking, which we still offer because people need that, to what we call visibility share, which is understanding where your result is on the page and how likely it is that anybody's going to actually see it and click on it. So that's the biggest change that we've been tracking. And, you know, we feel like we are out in front of the industry on that and being able to track that and show what your true web rank is today, which has to take that search position into account.
Yeah, it's really smart. It feels like it's a much more holistic approach to evaluating the real metric that you'd want to know of what your visibility share is compared to others. And if you would have asked any digital marketer worth their weight, they would have told you that as these rich snippets were added, it would be devaluing the organic search. But we've seen a devalued organic search results over the last, I don't know, feels like forever in Google as, you know, more things like ads have popped up, for example.
Right. And we've actually been, as I said, we've been following this for at least a couple of years and tracking it. And we've actually seen, you know, over the last couple of years in particular, a steady decline in the correlation between your traditional ranking position and the percentage of traffic the amount of traffic that you will actually draw. So if you're only looking at traditional ranking positions, you could be missing the whole story in your case. And the one thing that we've revolutionized this, there are some other tracking software out there that is tracking things like, are you in the first fold or not? Or even, you know, counting the number of search features and saying, like, let's say there's three search features above your position and you're number one in the traditional ranking. So you're ranked four. What we're tracking is your actual position on the page. Because here's one thing I want to include on this that a lot of people aren't thinking about is not only those search features, not only a featured snippet or a people also ask box or a video carousel might be above you. But let's say you're in position two or three. That's still pretty good. Because of the way of rich snippets where Google is adding extra things into some people's or some brand search results, things like rating stars or what we call site links where they may actually show below your regular result links into your site, all kinds of things like that they can add in, those things also push you further down. So what we're really looking at and measuring, and we're finding a much stronger correlation to actual traffic, again, is your actual position on the page, not just how many things are above you.
Yep. Yeah, it's interesting. I don't think people have been taking those into consideration over the years. So it's nice to see you guys at SEO Clarity going to the next level for reporting purposes to help advise people. All right, so let's get into page experience. You cool if we do that?
Sure, absolutely.
All right. Now, Mark, historically, you know, Google hasn't notified the public in advance of algorithmic updates, but I do remember them updating the public about their mobile requirements like long before the algorithm change took place. Is Google getting nicer, Mark, or is this such a big deal that they're just politely preparing people for what's coming in the future in light of COVID and some of these other dynamics in play?
Well, I don't want to make value judgments on Google. I have say that are they being nicer or not? they're a business, and I do not blame them for this. You know, they're going to do things as a business that ultimately are in the best benefit of their business. And their business is providing the world's best search results for their users. They want to keep people happy, so they keep using Google. And that way they're exposed to Google's ads, which is where Google makes their money. So, but they're smart enough to realize, and they've always been smart enough to realize, that those of us in the SEO community out here and businesses in general, they need us. While sometimes it seems like it's an adversarial relationship, it's also a symbiotic relationship. Mm-hmm. So that they need us because we're the ones that are advising businesses, advising websites on how to work with Google better to increase your chances that Google wants to show your result as a satisfactory result when people search for something on Google. So from time to time, Google's overall stance, let's back up on that for a moment, is, you know, they kind of cloak a lot of things. They stay hidden, and that's understandable because the one thing they have to be always concerned about is spamming, is people intentionally trying to game their results. And the more you know about how Google works, the easier that might be to do. Design things that are just kind of tricking Google into showing you rather than providing the real benefit to the user that Google and you should be after. So with that in mind, you would think like, well, Google's not going to tell us anything. But they do realize that with certain things, it benefits everyone, including themselves, mm-hmm. to clue us in and get our cooperation out ahead. So you mentioned mobile indexing.
Yeah, like they did a really nice job tipping their hat to what they're looking for, which is very different than what Google has done historically.
Right. So that was, you know, that's a huge example of this, where they put it out way ahead of time. They said, you know, in that case, like years ahead of time, they started talking about it and saying, like,
yeah,
we're not here yet, but it's coming. Like, it's going to matter that your site is mobile friendly, meaning that somebody on one of these, you know, on a smartphone, goes to your site and they can easily see it, they can use it, they can navigate it. That matters to us as Google because what Google's seeing is that that's the way the web is going. More and more people globally are using, and a few years ago the shift happened, the crossover, where more people access the web on mobile devices than on desktops. So they want mobile-friendly sites, so they said, we're going to make it a ranking factor. It's going to make a difference, and it's also going to be an indexing factor, meaning, you know, the way that you show up in our index is to have a mobile-friendly site. So I call this Google behavior modification. Mm-hmm. You know, if you know anything about psychology, you know, behavior modification is where you do things, you incentivize certain behaviors that you want to have. So that's what, when Google does something like this, where they announce a ranking factor change in advance, it's because they want us to modify our behavior in ways that are going to be beneficial for them and for their users.
Hey, if I could jump in real quick, they're not interested in modifying user behavior. They're interested in optimizing the behavior of businesses that are trying to attract visitors. And in doing so, they're recognizing that those visitors have exceeded more than 50% of the searches happening on mobile devices. It's north of 60, maybe even higher than that, depending on your industry. But what I love about it is Google pivoted when they saw that customers have already pivoted and that adjustment needed to have its ripple effect and needed to be recognized by business. So Google raised the flag and showed everybody what it was going to be and even gave them a tool to evaluate their mobile speed and what changes need to be made. So when Google flipped the switch, people weren't running out in the streets with their crazy conspiracy theories, right?
Yeah. And that's where it's got to be this symbiotic or cooperative relationship between Google and the SEO world, because they know, like, the one thing that they have no control over is what websites do. And they need websites to behave in certain ways or to adapt in certain ways for their own audience, for Google's own audience to benefit. So this from time to time, again, they drop these things out there and they say, hey, pay attention. We're going to change things. We're going to incentivize you. We're going to say, like, if you are in cooperation with this particular parameter that we want to change, then we're going to reward you with more visibility in search.
Yep.
And that's something as SEOs that, you know, hey, we'll take it. We'll pay attention. Yes.
Right.
It says jump, we say how high, right?
Right. And for people who think that their websites are complete, those are typically people who become frantic when an adjustment takes place. But the reality is business pivots always in order to prosper. Google has identified the pivot from users and is starting to get us into page experience. Mark, how do you explain page experience? I mean, this is such a important element. It was important for me at Video Marketing Mastery to raise my flag so my followers that look at me as being their crystal ball into the future have this opportunity. How do you explain page experience to someone?
Okay. Well, let's say where that name came from first. How about that? This was a couple of weeks ago. Google put out a blog post on their Google blog saying, hey, this is coming. This is a new thing. Page experience. But before that, a few days before that, they introduced some new metrics. They said, we're going to be measuring page speed. And that refers to basically how quickly a page loads once somebody clicks on a search result. And not only how quickly a page loads, but how quickly the page becomes usable to the user. That's a fundamental user experience.
Right.
And so they said, we're going to start measuring that differently. We'll talk about that more in a few minutes. It's called Core Web Vitals. But that was the preliminary. And that was like the warning shot across the bow that something was changing. The reason that's important, and then we'll go on to actually what page experience is Google knows from their own measurements that especially in a mobile world, people expect things to happen very quickly. And if they click on a result, and the page starts to load, but they can't navigate it, they can't scroll it, they can't click on anything yet, they can't see the main content that they came there for. In a matter of seconds, people will leave and go back and look for something else. So page experience fundamentally is about that. It's about how quickly does the page become useful. Now shifting over quickly just to what page experience itself is Google said a few days later, they announced, we're going to start coming up, not yet, but coming in the future, we're going to start evaluating pages. One of the ways we're going to evaluate pages, it's important to say, not the only way, but one of the ways we're going to evaluate a page for how it should rank in search is how you deliver that experience. How well do you deliver from the moment of click on a search result to the moment the user can actually start getting benefit out of your page using those Core Web Vitals? And that will become a ranking factor. And I want to emphasize before you ask your next question that that's so important to understand. A ranking factor, not the main ranking factor, not the sole ranking factor, not one that will count in every situation. But that's how we need to think of ranking factors, is they're things that are in the mix. They're part of a recipe.
Would you consider mobile speed for the page loading a ranking factor or a primary ranking factor?
The biggest answer you'll always hear from anybody in SEO, you know what it's going to be.
Yes.
It depends.
Yes, I know.
And it does depend. And I'm glad you asked that question because it's so important for people to understand. I think there's a lot of people, certainly in the world outside of SEO, but even a lot of SEOs that I think still get this wrong and misunderstand this. And that is Google is very complex. And because they understand that users are complex. And when you do any search on Google, there's a moment that happens where Google is assessing, what is your intent? What is this user actually wanting to do in this search result? And everything on Google changes and adapts to that as they learn that over time. So there are situations where the loading time of a page or the usability of a page is going to be more critical than in other situations. And so page experience becomes a factor that gets weighted in with all the other hundreds of factors, depending on the situation. One more thing before we go on about that is also, this is an oversimplified way of thinking about it, but I think it's still useful. Sometimes I think Google has factors that are what I call tiebreakers, meaning all of the things being equal in a competitive situation, a highly competitive situation. Let's say that there are 10 sites that have a really good response, a really good answer to what the user is searching for at any given moment. They're all just as good. Like they're all great. Google could show any of those, right? So in that case, something like the page experience might be the tiebreaker, might say like, well, this site is going to get it to them faster, so that should rank higher. It works vice versa also. If there's a non-competitive situation, like where only a few sites or maybe one site has the best answer to the query, then page experience is not going to matter as much. Google's going to prioritize saying like, yeah, this site's a little crappier on it, but they have the best answer. They have the most complete answer. We're going to show that first. So that oversimplified, but it's kind of a picture of how these factors are balanced together.
Okay, that makes sense. All right, so for those of you that are listening, page experience, the update is where Google's looking for how usable your website is, which, you know, that for quality being an important topic for not only Google to continue to have its claim as the best search engine, and it's also a win-win for users when they arrive on a Google recommended page. Now they're all of a sudden going to a page that's ready for prime time, especially for users to have the experience. It feels like it's a win-win for everyone around. Hey, Mark, how can people who are listening right now start preparing their site for the page experience algorithmic update that's coming?
I would say the number one thing you should do is educate yourself now, and you've got time to do it. Just like with the mobile indexing announcements, Google's given you time. So with the announcement of page experience, one of the first things they made clear about it is that we're not going to do this for a while yet. Like the earliest we're going to do this is next year. Now they said that's partly, and this is where, you know, you ask, is this Google being nice? And, you know, here's some niceness. They said, we understand we're in the middle of a crisis right now. Like a lot of you out there are just trying to keep your head above water in terms of things. So we're not going to lay some big change on you that you have to get, you know, by next Wednesday. So they said the earliest we're going to implement this as a ranking factor would be in 2021. And then they've went further, which I don't think they've ever done this before. They said, we're going to, when we know we're ready, when we have a date that we're going to introduce this, we're going to tell you 6 months ahead of time. So we've got time right now. That's the first, that's the good news. So what I would say in response to your question, what should we be doing to prepare for it is educate right now. That's the number one thing you can do. Google Core Web Vitals. There's also in the information for people who are viewing this in a way that they're seeing it on your site or where you post this show, Todd. I know we've provided you with some blog posts, some information, some links people can go to educate about this.
And we'll put those on the show notes page. You're cool if we do that, Mark?
Absolutely. Yeah, we'd love to share those with people. We want people to educate. So would it be helpful for me to just quickly talk about what the Core Web Vitals are?
Yeah, that was my next question anyway. So let's dig in on Core Web Vitals. Let's start to pique people's interest. And for anybody that's watching right now, that's listening to Mark drop his knowledge bombs, please, even if you are not the web guy, or you're not the marketer, but you're in senior leadership, forward this video of Mark and I on to people on your team so your team can start preparing, especially now if there's some downtime, start thinking about how your team can use this to get prepared for when the inevitable does come. So you're part of the win-win. Mark, let's dig in. Core Web Vitals, what is that?
So Core Web Vitals are, as it says, you know, Core Web Vital. That word vital is in there. And Google gave it that name because they're saying, like, when you talk about user experience, there are hundreds of things you can talk about, right? And you should be thinking about a lot of those things because of how they affect the user experience. So that's after the user gets to your site. you know, how easy is it to navigate? How quickly can they find the information that they need, et cetera, et cetera? How is it laid out on the page? All of these things are part of user experience. But Google said what matters to us as Google, first and foremost, and what we want to make core to this is how quickly the user gets the information where they can actually interact with it. So Core Web Vitals is a set of three new metrics, three new things that Google introduced of specific ways that they're going to measure that on your site and that you can measure using tools like SEO Clarity to figure that out and say, how well are we doing this and what do we need to change? So let's go through those quickly.
Yeah.
The first one is largest contentful paint, and these all have extremely geeky names. So largest contentful paint, and what that simply means is how quickly along the timeline of your page loading does it happen to when the main content is loaded? So Google's able to look at a page and say, like, okay, there's lots of things on this page. There's navigation links. There's maybe ads on your page. There's sidebars. There's footers. There's all kinds of things. But they can pretty much tell, like, here's the main content. Here's the stuff that actually answers the query the person's looking for. So largest contentful paint is, when can I see that? And on a lot of sites, that's not fast. You know, we've probably all clicked on sites where we see that, right? Where you know, I want to see the blog post, or I want to see the answer to my question, and you're waiting and waiting, and you're getting ads loading, and you're getting, you know,
agitated.
Loading. Yeah. Okay. So what that means, the to-do there is prioritize your content. Do things to optimize to make sure that the main content gets loaded first. So that's the first one. Second one is called first input delay. And first input delay is how quickly before the user can do something on the page. Especially on mobile, again, we've all had that experience where a page starts to load and you start to see things and you say, like, you know, I want to go here, or I want to scroll simply. I want to be able to scroll the content or to get to what I want to see. How quickly can they actually start to do that, to take action? Pretty simple to understand.
Yep.
The third one is cumulative layout shift. What that refers to is, again, going back to the experience we've all had, especially on mobile, you click through to a page, it starts to load, and you think, oh, I got it. Okay, you know, I want to look at this, or I start to touch this or to see this. And all of a sudden, things start jumping around on the page, right? The content jumps down, things jump around. You know, we've all probably clicked on the wrong link on a page because just as we go to tap on it, it moves and something else.
Not me.
No, I know you're the perfect user, but for everybody else is actually human out there. Sometimes I think Todd is inhuman, by the way. But he certainly has some superpowers.
I do.
That's another show.
Yes.
Ask Tony Robbins about that.
Right.
But we are what we're seeing. So these three things, again, largest contentful paint, you know, how quickly does your main content load? First input delay, how quickly can the user interact with your site? And then cumulative layout shift, how fast does the site stop jumping around and be useful to the reader? Those are the three things. Now, it's beyond the scope of this half hour that we're talking here to go into how you optimize for those. The content that we're going to link to in your show notes will help with that.
That's really helpful. I took notes on them. They'll be on the show notes page for this episode. You know, it seems like there's a set of behaviors, like you mentioned, that Google's looking for. And the sooner we understand them, the easier it'll be for us to help to optimize our site for this win-win experience on the web. What's SEO Clarity doing to prepare for page experience? And while we're doing that, I'd love to pick your brain on lab data versus field data. Can we do that also?
Yes, that's an important topic. So SEO Clarity, as I mentioned, we are a full-service, all-in-one SEO platform. Pretty much everything that you'd need to do for search engine optimization, you can find on SEO Clarity. So we're trying to bring in all the data together in one place where an enterprise, a very busy enterprise-level SEO, can get all the information he or she needs to do their job better and do what they need to do. So one of the things that we've had on the platform integrated for a long time is page speed. There's actually a segment on our platform where it's a full platform client. You can go and evaluate and see an evaluation of how well your pages are performing on page speed. And because it's integrated into our platform, you can see that. You can slice and dice that many different ways. by your individual keywords you're trying to rank for, a lot of different things. But we were already working toward, when this was all announced, toward shifting from what you just mentioned, from lab-based data to field-based data. So lab data is kind of exactly what it sounds like. It's data that comes from testing in a laboratory situation about how pages load. It's averaging over all of that. Whereas field data is actually collecting real-time what's happening out on real websites. So it's Google evaluating and seeing like how users, the experience they're getting on actual websites and building your data based on that. So we've already shifted over to that. This week, as you and I are speaking, we're beginning to integrate that into our platform so that people will get the more accurate information and information that in this case happens to conform very well to what Google says in the coming year, you're going to need to be able to measure yourself by.
All right. So if I understand this, a lab data is what happens in like a perfect scientific lab as Google's running its tests. Field data is when Google evaluates what's happening in the field as users are interacting with the same domain. Is that accurate?
That's a simple way to explain it. Yeah. There's, you know, always as any of these topics, there's more to it than that. But if you understand that, you understand why field data is more valuable and why Google is shifting over to using that rather than just lab data.
All right. So Mark and I are big nerds for this topic. You guys should know that Mark and I met up one faithful night in Fenway Park while we were both doing some work at HubSpot's event called Inbound. And even though the game went into extra innings, what that really meant was Mark and Todd went into extra innings talking about where Google's going and how to align your business into Google's flow. He's Mark Traphagen, my digital marketing soul brother that joins me back on the Toddcast. Mark, thank you so much for lending your expertise so we have a better idea of how to handle page experience as it starts to roll out to each and every one of us. Thank you so much for joining me again on the Toddcast.
Always a joy, Todd, anytime.
Yeah, I feel the same way, man. Thank you so much, Mark. All right. Always fun to have Mark on the podcast. You know, there are a few special people in my career that I've met along the way. When I say few, I've really met a lot. But there's a few that have risen to the level of Mark Traphagen in my life. And I just really enjoy him. And I know Wendy feels the same way. Wendy, by the way, is my wife. And we've had just really nice times with Mark over the years. So it's really fun to get him on the podcast. Now, if you're trying to figure out how your business bridges the gap, the first thing I want you to do is know that you can go to SEOclarity.net and learn more about Mark Traphagen. SEOclarity.net. And if you want to figure out how to sell remotely in this new world, maybe you're starting to see that your salespeople aren't as effective as they used to be, because maybe prospects aren't giving them FaceTime anymore, right? Like in this COVID world, which is the way business is going to be going for the rest of mankind, it's going to be more remote, which means salespeople need to get really good at being the Sherpa that guides their prospect through the sales process, which they've traditionally always done, except now they need to do it from a distance, remotely, using tools like video, smart web design, really sophisticated copywriting, back-end tracking, so you can see all your prospects and know who's ready to buy now. Because digital body language, tracking the digital body language of your prospects is going to be a primary way that salespeople in the remote world are going to know who's interested so they can prioritize follow-up and invest time in the right areas. Let me put it this way. When my company was just getting started and we didn't have the tools to be able to spy on the back end to know who's really interested, but who's demonstrating the largest attention span, do you know what happened? We had a sales cycle that was 9 friggin' weeks, which meant that is about 7 meetings and 1,100 emails scheduling those meetings back and forth. In doing so, we were terribly inefficient. We had a 9-week sales cycle. Our growth was moderate at best. And then we discovered how to drink our own Kool-Aid. We started using the power of video. We started getting our notifications when people would go through our website. look at our videos. And before we knew it, my team knew who to prioritize and follow up with, who to invest time with. And in doing so, drinking our own Kool-Aid, selling with video, decreased our sales time from 9 weeks to 3 weeks. Doing the math, that's a 66% reduction of the sales cycle. That's a lot of fat, a lot of wasted time. That's 1,100 friggin' emails to get appointments, meetings, everything. But the power of video allowed us, once we started evaluating the back end, it allowed us to determine who's ready to buy. And in doing so, everything improved. Our salespeople's commissions went through the roof. The efficiency of the company changed. The energy inside of our office was better. And everybody started enjoying coming to work more because we got to do the things we really love to do. Help people accelerate their sales cycle. Bridge this gap into this new world. And train their sales teams and their marketing teams how to convince and convert más rápido. If your business is ready for that radical transformation into this new world where you can sell remotely, I've created 20 minutes of free learning for you. As a listener of the podcast, it is my thank you to you. And I want you to use this to not only get yourself up to speed, but also to start educating your team. Maybe you've got some dinosaurs in your office. The odds are you do. That are holding on to the old world. No, let's just wait. Pretty soon we're going to get to be able to get in front of people. Yeah, we might have to have masks, but we're going to be able to get on airplanes and start selling again. If your team is ready to face the inevitable, the transition to remote selling, using the power of video to convince and convert faster, 20 minutes of free learning is available for you at wirebuzz.com/remote-sales. Check it out. If I can be of help, let me know. There's a form field with less friction on that page for you to schedule a meeting if you need to talk with me or my team to lay out strategy and discover what's next. Wirebuzz.com/remote-sales. And I will continue to do my job. Keep my hand on the pulse of digital marketing, right in the intersection of digital marketing, video marketing, sales optimization, and training, and in doing so, I'll bring you the latest information so you can be a video marketing master.